Well, if you would take your Bibles tonight, thank you, young people. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll get right into the message tonight. Those of you that received a handout noticed that we have not any time to waste. Ephesians chapter 4. Brother Dan, how are you going to get all that done in one night? In 29 minutes. We'll see. With the Lord's help. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." And we find a very key verse in our study on the gifts of the Spirit, "for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Verse 13 says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man," or a complete man, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And it continues, and we could go on, but I love verse 14, "that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." We see a lot of that today, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that there are many that are not exercising their spiritual gift within the body that should be fitly joined together, that unifies the body, and that body becomes strong, and it becomes a force as the body of Christ, and we move forward. And so many times, if you're not exercising that spiritual gift, at least one spiritual gift given to you at salvation, then many times you can be allowed, or you'll go to and fro, and you'll be carried about by these different things that show up that are not Bible-based. Holy Spirit of God, be with us now as we learn and as we are guided by you and how we are fitly joined together in the body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Spiritual gift number 5, knowledge. The supernatural enablement to receive and record revelatory truth in order to write Scripture. I put on there the definition, and we've done that every Sunday night. Spiritual gifts are supernatural enablements. They're not talents. They're not specialties that you have as a human being. This is something that God bestows upon you by way of the Holy Spirit of God, and it is upon all believers at salvation from Christ by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of edifying the body of Christ. And gift number 5 is knowledge. That was a gift that was bestowed upon a certain few in order to receive and record revelatory truth in order to write Scripture. In order to write Scripture. Why would that gift not be necessary today? Because as we saw last Sunday night, the Bible has been completed. The revelation has been complete. There is no new revelation needed outside of what has already been placed in our hand. And we have the preserved Word of God in our hand tonight. And that's all we need. You say, "Well, Brother Dan, there's some things that it don't talk about in there." I would beg to differ. I'd ask you to dig a little further. I would ask you to seek some counsel on that. And the Word of God is so complete, and it was done in such a way so that it applies to every person, to every situation, in every generation. You say, "Well, today's different." Today is no different than it was back in the days of Noah. Today is no different than it was back in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the same thing. It's just that, as you've heard, history will repeat itself. And so nothing new under the sun. Knowledge. Number six, wisdom. The supernatural enablement to apply scriptural principles to daily life. Scriptural principles to daily life. I call wisdom God smarts. Intelligence is human smarts. Wisdom comes from above. And that is that enablement to apply scriptural principles to our daily life. And they can be applied. All these that we're mentioning, you'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you'll recall, last week, we mentioned that there are a diverse amount of gifts, 20 to be exact, that are mentioned in Scripture. Gift number 7, the discerning of spirits, the supernatural enablement to distinguish between truth and error and between demonic, human, and divine spirits in another person. Brother Dan, is that possible? Yes, it is. That is a gift that is given not to all, but it is the gift that is given to many that are within the body. That is why at times you've noticed you might have a friend, you might have a pastor, you might have a Sunday school teacher that you go to and you'll ask certain things, and it appears as if it seems simple to them, it seems easy to them. Well, perhaps they have been gifted with that gift, that spiritual gift of the discerning of spirits, and they could tell you. And young people that are here tonight, you would be wise to listen to your parents. You would be wise to listen to your Sunday school teacher, to your pastor when he says, hey, that crowd that you're hanging around with, that person that you're hanging around with, they're bad news. They may not be able to put their finger on it, but they could sense that there's something not right, the discerning of spirits. Gift number 8, giving, the supernatural enablement, and this is worded specifically, trust and desire to give large amounts of one's finances, of one's time and labor to the glory of God. That is a gift. Some of us are not gifted in this way. Some of us squeak when it's time to give. We get uncomfortable when Pastor talks about a big project coming up. And it could very possibly be, and this is one of those gifts where the Bible teaches that we are all to give. We're all to give. There's verses in the Bible that talk about that. We don't have time to vary off and deal with this specific one, but this is one of them. But at the same time, it may hurt you a little more than it does your spouse. I have a spouse that's gifted with the gift of giving. She will give even my things away. And she does it happily as unto the Lord. And it doesn't bother her at all. I'm not gifted in that way. I'll be the first to admit to you, that is not one of my gifts. It's one of those things that I have to work on. It's one of those things that I have to pray about. And it's one of those things that I have to submit one to another in love. As the Lord lays on her heart to give, then I go along with it. Why? Because God has given her that gift. And when that gift is being exercised within the body, it is a good thing. It is not a bad thing. Next gift, number 9, exhortation. The supernatural enablement to encourage others to apply biblical principles. That is a gift. There are many in our church that are exhorters, and it's just pleasant to be around them. you find yourself wanting to spend more time with them because you find that when you spend time with them, they will encourage you to do right. They will encourage you to bless others. They will encourage you in your faith, and you just walk away and you feel better having been with them. That is the gift of exhortation. And just as there are those that have that gift, there are those that do not have that gift. They're not exhorters. That is not their gift. And at times, it's best for those that do not have that gift to remain silent. That goes a long way rather than comment. I said it. There you go. Now nobody else has to. Gift number 10, the gift of service, or it's been referred to as the gift of ministry or the gift of helps. The supernatural enablement to render practical help in both physical and spiritual matters. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church has been blessed with many that are gifted in the gift of service, in the gift of ministry, or the gift of helps. We are very blessed in the body here at Buffalo Ridge in that there's many that are gifted in that area. Not only physical, but also spiritual matters. Number 11, we move along, the gift of mercy, the supernatural enablement to minister to those who are sick, those that are hurting, those that are afflicted, and those that are in need. Some have that gift. Now, as I'm mentioning these gifts, there are some in this room today or tonight that are saying, wow, I can identify with that. That comes easy for me. And there are those that are saying, oh, Lord, please help them not to just park it there and start preaching. Because that's just not one of my gifts, I don't believe. And you're almost relieved to hear me say that not everyone has been gifted with that particular gift. But that is, in fact, the case. Some are not gifted with that. Though all of us need to be part of encouragement and mercy in showing mercy to those that are sick and hurting and praying for those that are afflicted and those that are in need. But there's some that you cannot tolerate going to the hospital. I remember when I was younger, I did everything I could to work my way around going to a hospital. I could not stand hospitals. They just made me, my knees would start shaking. I would turn pale as a ghost, as if I'm not white enough already. And it would just overcome me. Now, thank the Lord, He's helped me with that. And I can walk into a hospital now with the help of the Holy Spirit and command the floor, amen, call for a meeting. But before, it never used to be that way. Some are not blessed with that gift. The gift of mercy. And you know who you are if you are that person. You're that person, that melancholy person that just goes up along somebody, oh, and you feel their pain, and you can just talk to them, and that person just unloads on you, and you can just sit there and take it all day long. My father was not one. He said you could be just as sick here as you can be at church. Hop in. It's in your head. That was not his gift, the gift of mercy. He had other great gifts that were a help to the body, but not that gift. My mom had the gift of mercy, not my dad. Gift number 12, administration or government or ruling. This is a supernatural enablement for leadership to organize, to administer, to promote various affairs in the local church. It's obvious that our missionary, Brother Sam, God has allowed him to exercise that gift in New Zealand. And he come alongside these folks and he's brought them together and he's established this church. And God has gifted the body with some of those folks that are very good at that. Buffalo Ridge has been blessed with, as we go down through this list, I can just think of a number of people that have these gifts that we're talking about, and they are a blessing to the body of Christ. Gift number 13, faith. The supernatural enablement to believe, to expect, and to receive great things from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, the Bible says in 12:9, to another faith by the same Spirit. And then in chapter 13 and verse 13, the Bible says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity or love, these three, but the greatest of these is charity or love, the gift of faith. Not all have been gifted with a gift of faith. Not all are like Abraham, who when God asked him to pick up and move everything that he had, and he had quite a bit. There were a lot of people under his charge and under his care. There were a lot of cattle and sheep and camels and everything that you can imagine. And he just picks up, not knowing where he's going. Very few in this room would do what Abraham did and pick up and just take off. Who knows where it is? But God told me to go, I'm going. And if God told me, he obviously has a plan, and I have faith that he knows what he is doing. That is a gift of faith to thank God before it happens. Lord, I want to thank you. We've read about these great missionaries, like this missionary that prayed, Lord, I want to thank you for what you're going to provide this morning for breakfast, for all these hungry mouths. And then there was a knock on the door. That is a supernatural gift. And it's a gift of faith. Now, all have a measure of faith that God has placed in you. The Bible says that. But there are those that have been gifted with faith. Number 14, hope. The supernatural enablement to hope for God's blessing for the future in the face of discouraging present circumstances. I call those people the happy, shiny people. They make me sick. Oh, isn't this great? What a beautiful day. And it's raining cats and dogs outside. They make you sick. You're thinking something is just not right with this person. They are not engaged with reality. That is because they've been gifted within the body with the gift of hope. And that hope is in Christ, that hope is in God, and everything is going to be just fine. It's going to be fine. Really? Yes, it's going to be great. Isn't this is what an opportunity for God to just drop right in here and do a miracle. And you're thinking, okay, hallelujah. The gift of hope, the gift of love, the supernatural enablement to share unconditional agape love of Christ. There's a verse in the Bible that says, in this shall they know that you're one of mine, and that you have love one for another. We're all to love. We're all to share. But then there are those of us that could sit down on the street corner and wrap their arm around a smelly drunkard with tears in their eyes and say, I love you. I love you because God loves me and God loves you. That is a gift. The gift of evangelism, number 16. The supernatural enablement to share the gospel, to lead souls to Christ, and to launch the gospel into new areas, according to Ephesians 11. Now, this is, again, another gift that we are all to take part in. The Bible says, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. The Bible talks about Matthew 28. As you're going, you're supposed to make disciples. That is to every believer. But in all of this, there are some that it just comes natural for them. And I used to ask myself, dear me, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? And yet, it may not be your spiritual gift. You do it, and you're willing to do it. It doesn't come natural, though. It doesn't come to you. It's not easy for you. And there are those that could step into an elevator backwards. Instead of backing in, they walk straight in. The doors close behind them, and they go, hi, guys. You probably wondered why we're here today. And they just start witnessing to them. And you're thinking, they're off their rocker. No. God, through the Holy Spirit, has enabled them with the gift to be able to speak and to evangelize and to connect. The gift of evangelism. What a wonderful and beautiful gift. This gift could manifest itself in a missionary, in an evangelist, or a personal soul winner. But all believers, however, are to do according to 2 Timothy 4:5, to do the work of an evangelist. Number 17, the gift of teaching. The supernatural enablement. How many teachers do we have here tonight? Raise your hand. You teach here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We got a number of teachers here tonight. Thank you. The supernatural enablement to study. Yeah, that is one of the things. To study, to understand, and then instruct others in the Word of God, according to Romans chapter 12 and verse 7. Now, for those of you that do not have the gift of teaching, that's okay. That's okay. Stop trying to teach. Amen. It may not be your gift. Now, you may know a lot of things. There's a lot of people in this room that have great memory. And you know a lot of things, but you just don't have that gift of teaching. You could try to sit down and teach somebody, and in a matter of a minute and a half, they stand up and they say, listen, I got to go. I've got some things going on over here. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah. You wonder why that happens? It's not your gift. That's all. It's just not your gift. The gift of teaching. Number 18, and I'll get off that real quick because that can get me in trouble, all right? Number 18. There is a gift in Scripture in Ephesians, and let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, where it's mentioned. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. If you'll note, these two words in Ephesians, in the original language the Bible was written in the Greek, indicated that while every teacher is not a pastor, every pastor is to be a teacher. And so that's one of those things that you all looked for when you put together your search committee for your pastor. A pastor teacher, the supernatural enablement to shepherd and to also feed the local church. You can shepherd all day long, but if you don't teach them, then you've got some issues. They're not going to grow. So pastor, teacher, that is a gift. And then we get to number 19, and we'll spend just a few minutes on number 19 before we touch on 20. And when I say a few minutes, you'll look on your sheet, it almost covers an entire 8.5 by 11 back page, right? The gift of tongues. This is one that has sent folks in a spin. The supernatural enablement to speak, and here's the key. In a human language, which the speaker had never learned. It is a human language. There are two views on the nature of this gift. We will not get into every detail about the gift of tongues. But there are two views. You have the heavenly prayer language view. And this view sees tongues as an ecstatic, angelic, heavenly utterances that are above mere human speech. And then there's some things that you can get into on that. But you have that view. And then you have a second view, which is the unlearned human language view. And this view teaches that all the accounts of Bible tongues were the supernatural enablement to suddenly be able to speak the message of God in a human language of which the speaker had no prior knowledge. And that was a gift. It was a sign gift for that time. That gift today is not necessary. You say, well, Brother Dan, why is that? Because we have Babel. That was a joke. We have all these. We have an app on our phone. When we go on a trip to another country, we speak into it. It speaks back to the people so we don't end up in a place where we don't want to go. We have so much that is available to us today that that is not necessary. We have Bible translators that are translating the Bible into different languages and dialects, and the Word of God is going forth. That gift was a sign gift specifically for that time, for that moment, and God bestowed upon His people the gift of being able to speak in different languages. You have, under this nature of this gift, you have that nature, which is the different, we looked at the different views, but then you also have the purpose of tongues. According to 1 Corinthians 14:14, and in the 4 minutes that are remaining, we will not do this subject justice, but you have the references. I was careful to make sure that you had what you need, but the purpose of tongues, we'll look at it negatively first. It was not given for church edification. It was given for the lost. You had lost people that were present that could not understand it if it was spoken in the language of that moment. And so God touched these disciples, these apostles, and they spoke, and they were able to get the word of God to those that did not know that language. Tongues were not for personal edification. Most every example of tongues, modern day tongue speaking, if you would, it always edifies oneself. In fact, they go downright as to brag on, I have that gift. Well, bless your heart, we would say in East Tennessee. Bless you. I have that gift. And they're edifying themselves. Why? Because they are more connected, they feel. And you say, well, can you describe to me what was being said? Well, you know, they'll say, listen, this is so special that it was only said to me in a language that I don't even understand. And that makes every bit of sense in the world, doesn't it? So it was not for personal edification. Tongues were not to prove salvation. Tongues were not to prove spirit baptism, immersion, or the fullness of the Spirit. Tongues were not to be a heavenly prayer language. Tongues were a sign to unbelievers. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's read that verse in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. How more clear could you get than that? I even understand this, and I'm not a smart guy. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So tongues were a sign to unbelievers. And last here on this list of the purpose of tongues, the primary purpose of tongues was therefore, and we can't get into talking about what a sign was, but to be a sign of the what, which was judgment upon certain people who, unbelieving Israel was the people, which judgment took place in when? AD 70. That's what was the purpose when we see this illustrated in Scripture. And then we get into, lastly, on the subject of tongues, the proper practice of tongues. So you say, well, Brother Dan, I believe that tongues are something that's given to the church, to the body of Christ. Well, if you still feel that way, then here's your guidelines. They're not only to be used, they're used to be only to edify others, not self. No more than two, at the most three, are to speak in tongues in any given service. This is specified in God's Word. No two people are to speak in tongues or prophesy at the same time. So it doesn't all happen in a big hodgepodge and a craze. No one is to speak in tongues without an interpreter. All gifts are to be judged, and we'll get into this in just a second, but let me finish this on the tongues. I have been in a church service that was properly executed by way of the Bible. We had somebody that preached in English, and that English was translated to Spanish, and then that Spanish was translated into Totonaco. And we had to stop it right there. If there was another dialect in the house, they didn't get it, because we would have been out of line with Scripture. You say, well, Brother Dan, that was a long service. It sure was. It sure was. But that is how you do it biblically. You do it in order, one person at a time. Those that understand that language can understand what's being said, and souls were saved in many occasions doing just that. God is not a God of confusion. He is a God of order. So on the gifts, all gifts are to be judged and not accepted without discernment and examination, according to 1 John 4:1. The exercise of all gifts is to be kept under control. Gifts are not to cause confusion. And then the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:15, we're not to pray or sing in tongues without rational understanding of our words. It makes no sense for me to say, oh, cuánto le amo. You say, well, I know the tune. Yeah, but you didn't understand what I was saying. And you have to be careful with that. You have to be careful with that. Number 9, those claiming to be spiritual must test their gifts. And what is our test? The Word of God, Scripture, and then submit ourselves to the limits in the Word of God. This is our guideline. This is our rule, God's Word. The gifts that build up others and not self are the ones that are to be desired. Tongues were not to be forbidden at that time due to the fact that they were still serving as a sign to unbelieving Jews at Corinth and elsewhere. That's why you find it listed in Scripture. And then all assembly or services are to be orderly and not frenzied or a frenzied imitation of mystery religions. In that day, in Corinthians, one of the reasons Paul had to address this is because you had some folks that were being saved out of temple worship. And this temple worship was so horrible that we could not speak of it in this service tonight. And those that were getting saved then were filtering into the church, the body of Christ. And there was some stuff that was going on that wasn't right according to Scripture. And so Paul had to lay out some things and say, guys, this is what we need to be doing and keep this thing in line with who we are in Christ. And that is why you see this being attended to. And then lastly, and we finish with this, the last gift mentioned is interpretation of tongues, the supernatural enablement and the ability to understand and interpret messages that are uttered by the gift of tongues. I believe that whom God sends, He equips. And we have several missionaries here tonight. And no doubt, one or both speak more than one language. And God has gifted the body with languages. And those languages are understood by people that don't understand our language. And God has gifted the body with those that can interpret and that can share the gospel. He wants everyone to know the Word and the Word that He loves you, that He loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on a cruel cross and pay yours and my debt, your debt, my debt, so that we one day could restore that relationship with Him and then ultimately spend eternity in heaven with Him. That is what it's about. It is about the edification of the body of Christ. It is about the unification of the body of Christ. Next week, You don't want to miss Sunday night next week. Why? Because we are going to take, this test is not something that you have to study for. And this sheet that you were given is just something that will help you identify. You're going to have a small test that we're going to take place right here in the service. And we're quickly, and the first thing that comes to your mind when you see a question that is asked is what you're going to, it's multiple choice. I like those, don't you? And what we're going to do is try to equip the church with the ability to know what is your spiritual gift or gifts. And let's keep this in mind, because after service next Sunday night, there's going to be some tables set up in the Family Life Center with some ministry opportunities for you to exercise your gift. You're not going to find a table for the gift of discernment. There's not a ministry of discernment that you sign up for that I know of, right, Pastor? There's no table for that. There's no ministry for that. There are some gifts that you might have been gifted with, and it's not a visible gift. That's okay. God knows. And you say, well, Brother Dan, well, I'm not in a choir because they won't let me, because I can't sing. That's okay. God has given you a gift that adds value to the body of Christ, and we need you. We don't need you in the choir, but we need you. Okay? This is a wonderful thing. Look forward to spending time with you Sunday night with heads bowed and eyes closed. We've looked at a lot tonight. We've covered a lot. There's been a lot that has taken place. We've enjoyed two wonderful missionaries that we've had the privilege to come alongside and support. Perhaps there was a gift mentioned tonight, and you know in your heart of hearts, you have not been exercising that gift within the body. Would you tonight pray and speak to the Lord about that? And ask the Lord, Lord, will you show me this week where I might apply the gift that you have given me at salvation to edify the body of Christ? Will you help me with that? I have a feeling that God is going to give that to you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as we quietly stand to our feet, the instruments will begin to play.
As they continue to play, if God's spoken to your heart, I encourage you to come. Some of you might not understand why do we want to come to the altar? It's not that you have to. You can make a decision right there in your seat, but we always like to offer. Some of my greatest decisions in my life have been made at an old-fashioned altar just like these. And so we invite you to come. If you're here heavy-hearted and you need somebody to pray with you, then that's what we'd love to do. Maybe you're here and you have some big thing coming up and you'd like a brother or sister in Christ to pray with you, then Brother Kyle is standing right in front of the pulpit. He will certainly pair you off with someone. You come and we'd pray with you. Perhaps you're here tonight, and as Brother Dan said, you've been convicted by the Lord. There's something that you ought to be doing. You know that God's given you something. And right now, you're not utilizing it in the body, and you're not utilizing it for His glory. And that's just the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You say, is that bad? No, that's good. Because that means the Lord is leading you. And so I pray that you would do business with the Lord and just yield yourself to what He wants you to do. And then if you're here tonight, not certain that you're on your way to heaven, if something were to happen, you wouldn't be 100% sure from the Bible why you'd go to heaven or if you would go to heaven. If that's you and you'd like for somebody just to take some time and have even after everybody else leaves, for that matter, we can just take some time with the Scriptures and show you how it says you can know for sure Christ is your Savior. As they play just a little more, whatever your need is, would you come? Thank you so much. You may look this way. And what a joy to be here. Thank you, Brother Dan, for that wonderful lesson as we went through. And as the series lists, we are trying to equip. We want you to be equipped, not just come for the fun, for the messages. We want you to be equipped to serve. And thank you, Brother Dan, for that wonderful installment of helping equip the people of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Well, we're going to ask Brother Adarsha and Brother Sam, if you don't mind, to slip on back to the lobby. We'd love to get an opportunity just to slip by and see you. Brother Adarsha's family's in Nepal, and Brother Sam's family's with him. And Brother Sam, where's your girl's favorite place to eat?
McDonald's.
Certainly somebody needs to give McDonald's money before they leave. And so please, those girls are sweet. They need some McDonald's money and some things that would help them along in life. And what a joy to have these good families here with us. And we're so thankful. I'm going to ask Brother Dan to come up and do one more job. When the roll is called up yonder, instead of praying, we'll have our going home song. Hymn number 435. It'll be up on the screen. The first song that we sang tonight. Let's sing the first verse of that in the chorus, and then you're dismissed.
When the trumpet of the Lord should sound, I shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather on the shore, and the rose on yonder isle. When the roll is called yonder, when the roll is called yonder.